Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
We are continuing our series on the Spirit-led life. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at the role of the Holy Spirit and how He has led us, so to speak, upwards, how He's led us to the Father, how He's led us into relationship and to communion with the Father. We've also discovered that the Spirit-led life begins not with a power that we can use, but with a person that we receive. Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. It's not a ghost somewhere out there. He's not a vapor. No, He's a person. And He is the abiding presence of God. Right, we looked at these over the past 3 weeks. He is also the Spirit of adoption who assures us that we belong to the Father. And He awakens us to our identity, reminding us that through Christ, you and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Communion with God, though, having the Holy Spirit and being in His presence like we are this morning, has an outworking, and that is that we are not meant to be left unchanged. You see, a millisecond in His presence will change our lives for all of eternity. So this week, I want to start unpacking, and we'll do this over the next couple of weeks, start unpacking what the Holy Spirit does inwardly. We've gone upward in the past 3 weeks. Now we're going to start looking at what does the Holy Spirit do inwardly. Holy Spirit does. He comes and He does a work of transformation within us. What does that look like? He makes us more like Jesus. Well, how does the Holy Spirit make us more like Jesus? It's a question that we've got to ask ourselves. It's one of the things that He does. Simply, it's not producing an improved version of our old selves. It's not having a version 1.2, 1.4, 1.16 of JJ. You know, you don't go to bed at night and then have an upgrade and then wake up the next morning and you're different. It's not that at all. Holy Spirit comes and He teaches us how to live the brand new life that we have received through Christ by the Spirit. It's a brand new life. Say brand new life. That's it. That's what you've got. It's a brand new life, not a revised version of your old life, not a revised version of my old life. And this is where the gracious work of the Holy Spirit comes in, changing us from the inside out. You see, becoming more like Jesus is not self-improvement with a Bible verse attached to it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes and He changes us from the inside. He forms the life and the character of Christ in us. And this is really important for us as believers to know. I think the church is, and I say this with a lot of love, but the church is poorer because they haven't got this concept. They haven't realized this is the truth that is to set us free. But it raises another question. How do we actually live this new life? How do we actually live this new life? And I think that's something that we all grapple with. How do we live this new life? Well, our Bibles have the answer. Every one of us has a Bible, yes? Okay, some of you do. All of us have our Bibles, and our Bibles give us the answer. So today we're going to look at Galatians. So if you've got your Bible, grab it out. Bring your physical Bible. Be a student of the Word. Have a physical Bible with you. But we're going to look at Galatians 5, and the whole passage is 5:16 to 25. But I'm not going to read the whole passage. I just want to highlight three things, just three things. In verse 16 it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Verse 18, it says, "But if you are led by the Spirit," so it's walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then verses 25, it says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." So we're talking about walk, being led, and keeping in step with the Spirit. Three phases in this whole context of Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25. Three phases that help us understand what it means to live a brand new life. So I've titled this message, Spirit-Led Life with the Spirit. Who knows that a Spirit-Led Life without the Spirit isn't a Spirit-Led Life? So Spirit-Led Life with the Spirit. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, here we are. We're in your presence and we are ready. We are ready to be transformed. We are ready to have the revelation. We are ready to be changed. So come, we give you permission. Come and change us. Change our way of thinking. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive all that you want to reveal to us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. To understand this invitation from Paul, we need to get a little bit of context, as usual. You see, Paul writes this letter to the Galatians because the gospel in Galatia is being distorted. There are false teachers in Galatia, false teachers that are harassing the Gentile believers. They are saying to the Gentile believers that faith in Jesus alone is not enough. They are saying to these Gentile believers that they must also take on practices of the Jewish law, which included circumcision, observance of certain days and practices, etc., etc., to fully belong to the people of God. In other words, believing, having faith is not enough. These false teachers are saying you've got to have works as well. But Paul addresses it. Along these lines, he says, if our acceptance with God depends on Christ plus our religious performance, then grace is no longer grace. Yeah? Paul insists that they are, these Gentile believers are declared right with God through faith in Christ Jesus and not through the works of law. But then Paul comes along and in Galatians, and he also acknowledges, though, that there is this battle between the flesh and the spirit. This is important. This is where we're going today. There's this battle between the old desires of the flesh and the new life of the spirit. Reminding us, though, in verse 13, that you were called to be free. Wow. That's a sermon in itself. You were called to be free. In other words, Jesus has not just set us free so that we can go back to being controlled by our old desires. No, no, no. You are called to be free. He has completely set you and I free. He has completely set every person who's acknowledged him and accepted him as Lord and Savior free. Why? So that we can live in this brand new life that he's given us. He set us free from the old so that we can live. He's released us from the old so that we can live in this brand new life. So the question again is, how do we live this new way? How do we live in this brand new life? And this is where we come to the very first point in verse 16. It says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. When you walk by the Spirit, what happens? Your old ways no longer get to lead the way. The word flesh many times is understood, misunderstood. The Greek word for flesh is sarx, not sux, sarx, which literally means flesh, like in flesh. Sarx, in this context though, describes our fallen human nature. Not our physical bodies. Sarx in this context refers to a life lived according to our own desires. It refers to a life lived apart from the rule and the influence of the Spirit. Apart, separated from. He's talking about the old way of living, the part of us that wants to live independently of God and follow its own desires. That's what he's referring to here. In this context, the flesh refers to our desires, our instincts, our patterns operating independently of God. I want it my way. You know that song? And I did it my way. I won't sing it to you, yeah? We want it my way. The flesh doesn't always look bad on the outside. Sometimes it can actually even look spiritual. But it's still been driven by pride and jealousy, comparison, need for approval, etc. Now you and I can hear all of this and we can take it and think, okay, the flesh, the words of the flesh refers only to the worst version of us. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that the flesh is any version of us trying to live without surrendered dependence upon the Spirit. Anything that sticks out where we're trying to live independent of the Spirit, that's the flesh. Any version of us trying to live without surrendered dependence upon the Spirit is the flesh. You see, it's only surrendered dependence on the Spirit that produces inward renewal. And that's what we're meant to be on, the inward renewal. Inward renewal begins to shape how we live as sons and daughters. Inward renewal. We're all sons and daughters. We know it here. And many times from this platform I've said that we've got to get from here to here. That's the inward renewal. That's what happens when we find that inward renewal. When our identity changes, everything changes. Everything then changes. So as I was reading through this, I was referred to Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. It's going to have a bit on the screen. It's a great scripture because it reminds us that this is not just a new thing. This is, God's been on this ever since day dot. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you. Here it comes. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my ways. Wow. More than 600 years before Paul wrote the book of Galatians, God did not promise humanity a 5-point checklist about how to live. He promised to change humanity from the inside. He promised to give us the power to live differently. We are called, church, to live differently. He said, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. He will move you. 600 years later, Paul comes and he writes different books. Last week we were in the book of Romans. He writes different books of the Bible, reminding the disciples and now us that Jesus has accomplished what you and I could never accomplish, that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within us, and then in Galatians 5:16, to learn to walk in this new, brand new life that we have received. Ooh. Mind blown. It all comes together. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's all intertwined. There's one thing, relationship being led, becoming more Christ-like. And this blows my mind even further, is the fact that Paul is actually so realistic. Yeah, he knows that living this new life doesn't mean that the old desires simply disappear. He knows it. He acknowledges in Scripture. He acknowledges that there is still this conflict within. He says in verse 14, he warns us, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. We need to hear this. Church, we need to hear this. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Paul comes and captures something every believer discovers along their path. What did they discover, JJ? That there is this new life within us, but there is also a battle raging within us. And thus, the reason why we need, you and I, the church, needs to learn to walk by the Spirit. This is the reason why we need to walk by the Spirit. I have a news flash for you today. Receiving the Spirit does not mean we never experience temptation again. Receiving the Spirit does not mean that we will never face temptation again. Receiving the Spirit does not mean we will never face a challenge again. Your new life in Christ does not erase every old pattern overnight. We wish it would happen. We'll make life so much easier. Anybody agreed with me? You see, and this is where I think we've made a problem for ourselves, as many times, well, back in the old days, so to speak, when we did an altar call, we said, come to Jesus and everything will change and be perfect. You're right? Not on my watch. Never happened to me. I don't know if it happened to you. So we create this false expectation, and the poor person who gives their life to Jesus walks out, and the first challenge that comes their way, guess what? They fall and they wonder, oh, I thought I just gave my life to Jesus. We think it's like this, push the button, magic wand, and poof, all the challenges have gone. But it's not. And so Christians are shocked. Believers are shocked when this old desire comes back. Oh, I thought I'd given my life to Jesus. Or when this unchrist-like action rises. And I just want to do something, yeah? And then when that happens, we fall into condemnation. And when we fall into condemnation, we stay away from the gathering. We stay away from life group. We hide from God. Because nothing has changed. I'm still my old self. Oh, woe is me. Maybe this whole thing is just a sect. That, you know what? It's so fake. I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing this. I'm sick and tired of reading this on Facebook. Everybody that has a beef with the Christian, with believers, says the same things. Because maybe they've tried it. But as soon as they're condemned and they fell, they thought, oh, you know, they don't realize that there's this battle raging on the inside. And so today I want us to realize that there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. You see, condemnation is the language of the enemy. Conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. You've got to realize this today. Condemnation accuses and shames. Conviction corrects and restores. Condemnation says you are a failure. You are useless. You're a washout. But conviction, the Holy Spirit says, this is not who you are becoming. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Condemnation pushes you away from God. Conviction draws you towards God. Condemnation leaves you feeling hopeless and stuck and going nowhere, where the conviction leads you towards repentance and hope. Condemnation focuses on who you were and what you've done, where conviction points you towards who you are becoming in Christ. And then this is the huge one. Condemnation attacks your identity. What happened in Genesis? What did the serpent do to Eve? Identity. Attacked the identity. But conviction comes and addresses your behavior without canceling your identity. This is huge. The church needs to know the difference between condemnation and conviction. You see, this is what I want you to see. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, He's not condemning you. He is transforming you. He is transforming you. That conviction is part of His inward work. That Him convicting you is showing you, this is what we've got to work on, JJ. This is what we've got to work on, Russ. This is what we've got to work on, Jamie. This is what we've got to work on. This conviction. He is teaching us what? He's teaching us on how to live as sons and daughters. So when you become aware, when you and I become aware of something within you that doesn't look like Jesus, don't just throw the towel in and think, oh, something must be wrong. Oh, maybe, you know, nothing has changed. No, no, no. The awareness of that is actually the invitation to bring that to Holy Spirit and surrender it. He's inviting you to surrender it. Folks, the battle that you are experiencing doesn't mean the Spirit is absent. It is the place where we can learn to depend on Him more. Is this helping? You're going very quiet. And this is why Spirit-led transformation begins not with trying harder, but with learning to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Walking is actually active. Walking is intentional. Walking is ongoing. Ongoing. Walking is made up of ordinary steps repeated in a direction. Yeah, does it sound right? All right. You want to lose weight? Go for a 20-minute walk, everybody says. I don't know if it works, but let me know if it does. Didn't work for me. Spiritual transformation happens as the Spirit teaches us to take those faithful steps over time. To walk by the Spirit means we live surrendered to His presence. To walk by the Spirit means we allow Scripture to shape the way we think. To walk by the Spirit means we respond when there is conviction. To walk by the Spirit means we receive His strength. But to walk by the Spirit means we choose God's way over our own desires. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit. But I need to highlight, walking by the Spirit involves divine action as well as human response. It's not one or the other. It's both. You see, the Spirit reveals Christ, and therefore we need to turn our attention towards Him. The Spirit convicts, so we need to repent. The Spirit leads, so we need to walk. The Spirit empowers, so we need to obey. The Spirit transforms, so we need to surrender. It's not one or the other. We think that when we give our lives to Jesus, well, Holy Spirit does it all. No, 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 no. The transformation happens in your human response. Something needs to be required of you. You can't go to the gym and look at the weights and think, oh, I'm going to have abs, but just looking at them. I wish, because I'd be first in the queue. But when I go there, I need a human response. And then I need Voltarens and Nurofen afterwards. I need it. But there's got to be a human response. Divine action and a human response. As we turn our attention towards Him, as we behold Him, what happens? You become who you behold. So as you behold Christ, we become more and more like Him. The Spirit's power does not replace our next step. It makes the next step possible. In other words, you have a responsibility, a human response. So, if we're going to walk with the Spirit, then we also have to allow the Spirit to lead the way, which brings us to the next phrase Paul uses in Galatians 5:18. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So, walking speaks of how we live. Being led speaks of who is directing our lives. Works together. His leading, we've got to understand, will always be consistent with the truth of Scripture. His leading will always be consistent with the truth. His leading will always be consistent with the character of Christ. How do we become Christ-like? By Him leading. The truth will? The truth will? Set you free. The truth will set you free. So the question here again is, how do we know where He is leading? How do I recognize He's leading in the middle of everyday life? One word. Discernment. One word. How do I know where He is leading? How do I recognize He's leading in the middle of everyday life? Discernment. Folks, if we are going to be led by the Spirit, we need to learn to discern the leading of the Spirit. Can I just say and pause? Young ones, listen to me. Discernment is not hyphened, italics, underlined, bolded, is not simply asking, what do I feel? Some adults need to hear this as well. You see, I agree. Our feelings are real, but they're not always reliable guides. They're not always reliable. Just because I feel strongly about something does not necessarily mean the Holy Spirit is leading me in that direction. It could be my heart's desire. It could be because it is comfortable. It could be because it is attractive. I'm going to get a double the amount of money that I'm getting right now. But it doesn't necessarily mean it is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Not everything I feel is the Spirit. And not everything that the Spirit leads me to do will always feel comfortable. I mean, how good would life be if everything was comfortable? But we've got to get uncomfortable to grow. How do we learn, though, to discern? I've popped some questions together. This is questions that I ask. How do I discern? I first ask, what does Scripture say about it? What does Scripture say about it? Secondly, does this glorify Jesus? Because who knows, if it does not glorify Jesus, then it's not of the Spirit. What kind of fruit will this decision produce? Will it bring unity or disunity? Will it produce anger or peace? What kind of fruit will this decision? Is this right at this point in time? This is decision that I'm trying to make coming out of fear or out of pride, out of offense, the need to control, etc., etc. And then lastly, have I got wise counsel from mature believers? Wise counsel. You know these bald-headed, gray-headed peoples, young adults, hear me now? They've got wisdom. They've been around the trap longer than you. Sometimes it's good to ask. But you know why we don't ask? Because we're afraid they tell us not to do it. Ouch. Then we make the decision and then we go, oh. Now, please, understand me. You have feelings, but it's not about our feelings. At the end of the day, we're on this planet to glorify God. We're on this planet to advance His kingdom. That's what we're here for. Not to ride, drive the Mercedes Benz, not to live in the big house, not to go on all these holidays. We're here to glorify, to advance His kingdom. So we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Oh, but what if I'm going to miss God? And then we go into panic mode about making decisions. Am I going to miss God? And it's all these little questions. And so we don't even make decisions. And so we go nowhere. You know that if you go nowhere, at least you're going somewhere. Nowhere. So we don't make the decision because we're in panic mode. We're stressing. Oh, am I going to miss God? And chill. Holy Spirit is with you. He is faithful. He's a helper. He leads. He corrects. He directs. But discernment is being aware of His leading. That's discernment. Discernment is being aware of His leading and then responding. Remember the human response. And then responding. You see, it's one thing to recognize where the Spirit is leading, but it's always another thing to follow where He's leading. Why don't we like to go where the Holy Spirit is leading the majority of the time? One word, unknown. I don't know about you, but I don't like the unknown. I like to know. I like to be in the know. Because when I'm in the know, I can control. It's just me. I thought it was just me, yeah. But He's leading. You and I are to respond. And this brings us to the final phrase in this passage. Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also, underline the word also keep in step with the Spirit. Are you seeing this natural progression? Walking is how we choose to live. Being led is Holy Spirit giving direction. In step is we respond and adjust to His leading. I love the word. Comes together. I love this picture. It's a beautiful picture. It's an easy picture. It's easy. Everybody makes or thinks this Christian life is difficult. Oh, it's so difficult to be a Christian. Really? I think we overcomplicate it. Because you know what? God has made it so easy for us. First of all, He sends His Son to die for us. Then He gives us the Holy Spirit. When we choose to walk with Him, Holy Spirit leads. And as we're leading, all we have to do is learn to respond and adjust our steps to His. Good word, JJ. It's pretty easy. Let me say that again. Father sent His Son Jesus to die for you and I. So now we're back to the family. We're back in the family. He sends Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is with us. He's with us. He's in us. He's with us. He goes where we want to go. He reminds us that we are sons and daughters. Yep. We walk with Him. As we walk with Him, we've been led by Him. As we're led by Him, all we have to do is we have to keep in step, which just means to learn to respond and adjust to His steps as He leads us. It's not that complicated. Simples. I had a bit of a chuckle. I'm not kidding. Why does Paul use the word keep in step? It's really interesting that he uses those words keep in step. What do you think he uses those words keep in step? It's not a theological answer, so don't try and become all religious and theological on me either. Let me answer. Let me help you out of your suffering. Because we're kids. Mind blowing. What do you mean we're kids? I heard that. What do you mean we're kids? We are kids. We are learning to live in our sonship. Yeah? We are kids learning to live in our sonship. In the natural. My wife and I decide we're going to go for a walk in this beautiful warm weather of Melbourne. We're walking on the sidewalk and we have little Jay Jr. I know he's bigger, but he was small at one stage, all right? And we're walking with little Jay. If I did not hold his hand, what would happen? He'd run off. He'd run ahead of me. Yes? Parents who've got kids know what I'm talking about. Or he's lagging behind and you've got to go, come on, hurry up. Come on, hurry up. Or all of a sudden he disappears. And you go into freak out mode. And you go back and you find out he's gone actually up the driveway of another yard. Making friends with the neighbor. Am I right? All right. Come back to us. We are kids. Learning to walk in our sonship. Guess what? Sometimes we run ahead. How do we run ahead, JJ? We make the wrong decisions. We sign that contract we shouldn't have signed. We sign an agreement. We go into a relationship that we shouldn't be in. We send the text message before we've even thought about what we've just written there. So I can go on. And then we ask God to bless it and help us to get out of the mess. We run ahead. Sometimes we lag behind. We chuck a tanty. We keep ourselves busy with everything else. And the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts us repeatedly. And the scripture is very clear. And we've got these gray, bald-headed, wise people trying to give us wisdom, but we continue delaying hearing and being obedient. We lag behind. Sometimes we take the wrong turn. We go up the wrong driveway. Fork in the road. We go this way where we should be going this way. What happens? We choose the direction that we want to take because it seems comfortable. Advantageous to myself. It's an advantage for myself. And then all of a sudden, we're on this journey and we go, oh my gosh, somewhere along the line, God, you're not with me. Why are you not with me? Where are you, God? How? And God's like, I'm back there. Not that that happens. That's not biblical. Just checking. He's always with us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes we run ahead. Sometimes we lag behind. Sometimes we make the wrong turn. We are kids learning to walk in our sonship. So keeping in step means Holy Spirit sets the direction. When he says wait, we don't force the door open. When he says speak, fear does not get away. When he says apologize, we push pride aside. I want you to know, forgiveness is key to a Spirit-led life. You didn't hear me. Forgiveness is key to a Spirit-led life. Oh, you guys, did I say this? But I thought I heard somebody say, but I'm going to say it again. Forgiveness is key to a Spirit-led life. And we have to apologize, put pride aside, and apologize, ask forgiveness when it's necessary. If he says rest, we've got to stop striving. We've got to stop trying to do it in our own strength. And if he says release something, let it go, then you let it go. Let it go. Don't call your attachment to something discernment. Let it go. I'm thinking of Frozen at the moment. My daughter was sometimes very prophetic. We'd be at a church service or something, and she, all of a sudden, we're all antsy. She starts singing, let it go, let it go, don't hold back anymore. And we look at her going, just shush. Anyway, moving on. Spirit-led life is all about walking, being led, keeping in step. Walking, being led, keeping in step. On repeat. When? Every day. In every part of our lives. From the time you open your eyes till the time you put your head back on that pillow, you and I are to be led. We've got to walk with him. We've got to be led by him. We've got to keep in step with him. So let's be practical. I said it was going to be a very practical message. How does this become part of my everyday life? The team can join me. Danny can join me. That'll be great. How does this become part of my everyday life? I've got five things I want to give you. First thing is start each day by surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Before you get caught up in what you need, how to do it, surrender yourself to who is leading you in that day. Before you start your day, start it each day. Start each day surrendering. Before asking God to help you accomplish everything on your list, open your hands, surrender. Holy Spirit, here I am. I am yours. This day is yours. That meeting is yours. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your guidance, for your wisdom. Give it to him. Then, learn to notice the moment of conflict. Important. You see, what am I saying? The battle is often won or lost before the outward action. You know when you're starting to get irritated. You know when envy starts whispering. You know when lust starts inviting you in. You know when fear grips your heart. You know when anxiety, you know when there's this prideful thing that's starting to rise up. And in that moment, that's when you have to learn to notice. Because why? It's your invitation. When you notice, it's your invitation to turn towards the Spirit. That's your invitation. All right, I've now noticed. What do I do next? Next point. Pause and name what is happening without pretending. What do I mean by that? You pause. You stop in that moment. You name it, Holy Spirit, right now, there is this anger, that, and it's not a righteous anger. It's an anger that I just want to clench my fist and I want to retaliate. I have this desire to go and just punch the person. And this is not leading me into the character of Jesus. So help me choose the way of love. That's been real. Right now, I have this lustful invite. And I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, help me in this moment. Help me right now, because this is not the way of Jesus. Help me in this moment. That is being pausing and naming what is happening without pretending. Then bring it back to the truth of Scripture, because it's the truth that sets you free. Take a different action where you want to punch love. When you've got anxiety, Holy Spirit, give me peace. Give me the shalom of heaven. Bring it back to the truth of Scripture. And then the next thing is practice repentance. When you get out of step, don't stay there. When you realize, look, I'm out of line, I'm out of step with the Holy Spirit, don't stay there. Come back quickly. How do you come back quickly? You repent. Father, I have sinned. I have blah, 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 blah. Forgive me. Come back, repent. When you stumble, when you fall, like we said last week, call out that little Johnny, Mommy, Mommy. This time you're not calling out Mommy. You're going, Holy Spirit, help me. He's your helper. He's your helper. He's your guide. Why would you not call out to Him? He's your comforter. Why would you not call out to Him? So practice repentance. Confess specifically. I'm so angry right now. Lord, take this anger from me. Confess specifically. I have lustful thoughts. Take this lustful desire. Specifics. Not airy-fairy. Not broad brushstrokes. Fine brushstrokes. Why? Because it's that you come in and you put it on the table. It's that you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you with. It's that where Holy Spirit wants to do something inwardly and guide you. That. Condemnation says this. Remember condemnation, conviction? Condemnation says this to you. In that moment, stay down, you loser. You're not worthy. You see, I told you so. I told you you were going to fall back. Conviction says differently. Holy Spirit comes and says, you can do this, son. You can do this. Come on, get up. You're okay. You're okay. You're loved. You're loved. Come on. Let's get back into step. Which is my last point. Take the next step. Follow His lead. You don't have to work out the next 10 steps. Listen to the Spirit and obey Him in the next one. Just the next one. You see, I'm going to repeat myself. The Spirit's power makes that next step possible. You can, from lying down, you can get up and be led by Him and take that next step. Because you have Holy Spirit and you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, and you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. You have the power. You have it to step into the next. So this is what we're going to do. I hope this has helped you, because we can't anymore deny the fact that we know how to live a Spirit-led life. Next week, we're going to unpack more of what He does on the inward side. Yeah? But even now, with just these three, to walk with Him, to be led by Him, to keep in step with Him. Three things. Simple. You have Him. You don't have to do anything to receive Him except ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior. But all you have to do is when you have Him, you have Him. He's with you. Walk with Him. Be led by Him. Allow Him to lead you. Another news flash. Off the script. He has better plans for you than what you have for yourself. He has the best plans. Psalm 139 says to me, while he was knitting you in your mother's womb, he wrote all the days of your life in his book before there was one. They're good plans. He's God Almighty. To get to them, we have to be Spirit-led. Walk with him. Be led by him. Keep in step with him. Keep in step with him. And you might be here this morning. Some of us, I know, you're exhausted. I had a chat with some people between the services, been serving Jesus for years, but there's this cycle of failure and shame and another promise that's broken, and through that people have become despondent. I want to say to you, and I want to remind you today, the gospel says this: there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Stop the voice of the enemy immediately. No condemnation. You see, the Spirit is not waiting for you to become strong enough to deserve his help. He helps you in your weakness. He starts helping you right now where you are at. But JJ, you don't understand. I don't understand, but he does. He's God Almighty. And that's why he sent Holy Spirit. For you, for me. I'm here today because Holy Spirit has got me here. You're here today because Holy Spirit brought you here. Divine, divine, divine. For other people, there's been this place, this area of resistance, and I just want to say to you, hey, you don't need another sign. If God just shows me another sign, then I'll just. You don't need another sign. Get rid of the pride. Get rid of that control. Stop negotiating. What do I need to do, JJ? Get back into step. Repent. Get back into step. Point four, point five. Get back into step. Some of us, and this is rife amongst the church, we've used grace as permission to remain unchanged. Stops today. Grace does meet us exactly where we are at. That's grace. It meets us where we are at. But grace loves us too deeply to leave us where we are at. He wants to stop you to stop being destroyed. You see, it's not the Spirit condemning you. The Spirit is convicting you so that he can lead you into freedom. That he can lead you into a life. The life of abundance that Jesus spoke about in John 10:10.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.